two parshios, double header this week. Achrei mois kedoshim. Everyone knows the joke. Achrei mois kedoshim. Achrei mois kedoshim ema. Afeich va afeich va du kula va. Okay.
What do you
write?
That was the line.
Okay, so let's begin. So Kedoshim begins. Kedoshim to you, ki kedosh niyashim kedoshim. Ish imoy, the aviv tirahu, the yeshab soisai tishmoyru. We learn about Shabbos. This week we learn about Shabbos. Shabbos always a good topic to talk about. You know, the rabbi was a younger man, he got a job as a rabbi, and he comes to a shul, a very modern shul, and he starts giving draw. He sees the kashrus is not so good, so he starts darshening and giving musr that all the food here is not kosher, and nothing is good, and all the restaurants hacking away, and the Baal Batim comes and say, Rabbi, don't talk about kashrus. Don't rock the boat here. Don't talk about kashrus. Okay, fine. Next week he gets up and he dies. Shabbos, right? All right, you know the joke, right? Shabbos, Rabbi, don't. Then next week he dies and says, Chinuch Habanim. Chinuch Habanim is no good. What's going on with Chinuch Habanim over here? Then the next week is Shmir Senayim is no good. And this is no good. And everybody, the Baal Bat, they kept on telling Rabbi, you're not in Lakewood here. You're in a different place over here. And then so there's, what should I talk about? I can't talk about Shabbos. I can't talk about Kashrus. I can't talk about Tiras HaMishpacha. I can't talk about everything. Talk about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit. That's the joke, right? That's the joke?
Yep.
Talk about Yiddishkeit. What is Yiddishkeit? If Yiddishkeit is not Shabbos, it's not Kashrus, it's not family issues, v'chul. Any event, Shabbos is always a very good topic. Ish imo v'yaviv t'yov yesh Shabbos, o'say tishmayu. Every time it says a mitzvah in the Torah, like we just finished learning before, we just mentioned a few moments ago that Achas Dibur Hashem, there's nothing that is repeated for no reason. If something is repeated in the Torah, there's something, it's being taught in a new dimension, a completely different dimension than when it was mentioned before. Last week we spoke about Bris Milah. Bris Milah, it's Derech Agav, talks about Ish, a parasha of Negoyim, Tsaras, Tumas Yoledes. And in the middle of nowhere, it talks about Bris Milah. I mean, you know, like we said, you can kill someone with faint praise. If you're not going to give it the proper background, the proper setting, it's a Chorban. Why is Shabbos being repeated here? What is the unique dimension about Shabbos? So it's very clear. What's very unique about Shabbos here is to teach you the Choymer Hadavar. Ish imo v'aviv tiro. The entire Judaism is built on Mesorah of the Avos. Whatever your parents tell you to do, you do. V'zehu. Otherwise, there's no Klal Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael is built on the Mesorah of respect, kibud avim, and the reverence one has for the parents' previous generation. Yet, the Torah says, parents have no shlita over Chil Shabbos. If your parents tell you to Mechal Shabbos, you're not going to listen. Even though ish imo v'aviv tira'u, watch out. V'es Shabbos soisai tishmaru. This is what is unique about Shmirah Shabbos in this week's parasha. It's coming to impress upon you the choymer hadvarim of where Shabbos stands in the hierarchy. In the hierarchy of the Taryag Mitzvah. It's a very hard thing to, the very important thing to appreciate. They wrote this a little about Rebbetzin David. I told you that article they wrote in Mishpacha magazine in the women's section. They all use that word hierarchy. She taught them, all of her Talmidos, right? She taught them that hierarchy. Not everything is the same. Everything has to be put in the right place. Everything has its setting. It's a very, very profound principle. We live in a world today, you know, you see that a lot with, unfortunately, with Balei Teshuvah and Gerim. I have a friend, you know, a certain type of person, and like a Balei Teshuvah, and he calls me up sometimes, asks me questions, and it's almost always the same type of question. He he equates things that are very, very minor with the Dvar, like the most severe things, like eating treif has the same status as, like, are you allowed to cut your nails on Rosh Chodesh? Okay, you know, it's not his fault. It's because when you're not been trained, you don't know what is serious and what is, you know, and what is, you know, it's not a serious thing. You know, everything has to be put in the proper place. This week's parasha is a revelation of the Choymer Hadover of Shabbos Kodesh. Ish, Imo, V'oviv, Tiro. Everyone can off the bat appreciate Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Klal Yisrael is built upon a foundation of respect, of appreciation from where you come from, a recognition of the Mesorah. But yet Hashem says, but that's nothing k'neged Shabbos. Even if your parents tell you to be mechal Shabbos, do not listen to them. The Es Shabbos Esai Tishmaru. Now, on that note, I want to discuss for a few minutes the topic of Amira La'akum when it comes to Shabbos. The reason is because, number one, I need a topic. Number two is because B'didi Havi Ovda got a little bit embarrassed. We had a whole shayla of Amira La'akum, and I didn't really know. I didn't really have clarity. In these inyanim, and you really have to know these inyanim very, very well. The laws of Amiru La'akam, Shabbos Adav Chomer Ad Ma'id. Of course, a person may not in any way whatsoever be mezalzel in the Lamites Melachis, not the Reis, not the Rabbanon, but you're not allowed to tell a goy, a Gentile, to do Melacha for you on Shabbos either. Many years ago here in the Shul, we asked you to spend some time going through a whole series of shim on Amir La'akam. Unfortunately, I've probably forgot everything by now. Not that I ever knew to begin with, but just to spend a few minutes going through some of the details about Amir La'akam. Now, I really passionately believe in this Yisoy that I'm going to tell you right now about Amir La'akam. In almost every single area of Halacha, in the Dalach Chalke Shulchan Aruch, when you start out, it's almost... Everything is almost always me'ikar hadin mutter. It's mutter. And then, well, you know, there's a din derabbanon to be machmir, and there are minhogim to be machmir, and there is practical considerations to be machmir, and there's the spirit of the law to be machmir, but me'ikar hadin, it's mutter. In almost every area in halach, I'm not talking about over here outright violation of halach, when a person is ready to come to ask a shayla, when a person comes to ask a shayla about many different inyanim, you know, usually really make your adin it's mutter. But we don't do this. Why not? Because it's also medrabanan, or it's because the minig is to be machmir, or it's maris ayin, or because it's just not in the spirit of the law, or it's just not practically a good idea to do. But really, mikra din, every area you have a shayla, every shayla you have, you'll always find a heter. The only area in halach, I don't know if it's the only, but it just stands out like blatantly, that is mamish the complete opposite. That basically, mikra hadin, every single time a person comes to ask a shayla, can I ask a goy to turn on the lights? Can I ask a goy to turn on the heater? The boiler, the hot water, the this, the that. The answer is, off the bat, me'ikar hadin, it is osur. However, maybe we can bend backwards and find an exception, a kula, to be megal. It's like the opposite. I always tell you, you know, you go to a rav, there are two types of rabbanim, in general. There are some rabbanim people don't go to. Why don't they go to them? Because whatever you ask them, it's osur. No. It's osur. Let's see if we can find a heter. Let's see. You ask a shayla. We don't do this. It's osur. Osur, 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 osur. Can we find a heter? Maybe we can find a heter. Yeah. Avada, that's a side point. Then there are other rabbanim. You go to them and they say, you have a new shayla. I never heard this question before. Why should it be osur? Well, of course it's mutter. Why should... The starting point is it's mutter, and we never heard the shayla before. It's not blatantly. I don't see any blatant violation of halacha. So l'chayr it's mutter. Let's be careful. Let's think, why should it be usr? And when someone asks you a question, should I? I remember I was eavesdropping. There was a fellow on Yom Tif, and he said to us, and I was sitting next to one of his mentors, and he asked his mentor, "Do you think I want to make a kiddush tomorrow for my friends in my house? Do you think I should do it? Should I make a kiddush on Achron Shel Pesach? I want to make a kiddush on Achron Shel Pesach after davening for my chaverim." So the rabbi said to him, "Why are you asking the question? What's bothering you? What is bothering you that you wouldn't want to do it with? Why are you coming to ask me? There's nothing wrong with making a kiddush. Of course, I can make a kiddush. The fact that you're coming to ask me this question, there's something that's bothering you. Otherwise, of course you can make a kiddush. Of course you can make a kiddush. Why would you not want to make a kiddush? What's bothering you? Tell me what's bothering you, and we'll talk about it." Oh, so Itaka told him why, his hesitation. But off the bat, it's mutter. Other hand, you can have a rabbi. "Rabbi, I want to make a kiddush tomorrow. Can I make a kiddush?" Asur! If you're coming to ask me a shayla, it's asur. Maybe we can be matter. You know, which type of rabbi do you go to? The one that tells you off the bat it's asur, and then we have to work backwards, it should be mutter? Or do you go to a rabbi that says, "Why not? Of course it's mutter. Why should it be asur?" You're working, it's a different, you're going upstream or going downstream. When it comes to the laws of Amir La'akam, invariably, it's always, mamish, come on, b'li yoytzim in haklal, it is asur. This threshold of Amir La'akam is always asur. Unlike every other halacha, I don't know, every other halacha, all the other halachas where usually it's mutter, everything is really mutter, and everything, we have many, many layers of stringencies, and what we do, what we don't do, v'chulu v'chulu. Amir La'akam clearly in Shulchan Aruch is asur. Now let's discuss how asur it is. It is, there are many different dimensions of the issur, so people don't appreciate how severe it is. It is asur to ask a non-Jew to do for you a molocha d'oraisa. That's a given. It is asur to ask a non-Jew to do for you a molocha d'rabbanan. It is asur to ask a non-Jew to do for you a molocha on Shabbos. Tell him on Shabbos, do a molocha after Shabbos is over. Do a malach. I'm not telling you to do a malach now. I'm telling you to do a malach when Shabbos is over. It is also to tell a non-Jew to do a malach erev Shabbos. You call him Thursday, Wednesday. You know, on Shabbos, we're going to have a problem. So I want you to be there and do all the malachas for us. You're not going to do that. It's not only is it also to ask him on Shabbos, a derais of the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to ask him on Shabbos to do a malacha for you after Shabbos, and you're not allowed to ask him during the week before Shabbos to come and do the malacha for you on Shabbos. It's asr. Not only is it asr to ask the guy to do for you malacha, it is asr to ask the guy to do for the malacha for someone else. So it's mamish asr across the board to ask a guy to do for a Jew a malacha. Why? What's the reason? So there are many reasons. One of the reasons is, even though we generally hold, is ein shlichus la'akum. If a Jew goes over to a guy and says, "You know, I'm getting married tonight, but I don't feel well, so I'm not going to go to the wedding. You be my shliach." You march down the chuppah, and here's the ring, and you know, you give the ring to my kal, and you say, "Hayam nikudeshes," for me. And you can dance for me. You can do everything for me. But you be my shliach. Can a guy be a shliach for a Jew to do a mitzvah? Absolutely not. Ein shlichus la'akom. Kein torimu gam atem. We learn this from the laws of Truma. The laws of Truma, we learn a special pasuk that just like you are a bnei bris, if you can, you want to ask an agent to separate on your behalf teruma and meiser, the agent must be a Jew just like you. And if you ask a Gentile, it's not a valid hafrashas teruma. And from there we have binyan av l'chol ha-tayra kula. However, some of the rishonim say not so fast. When it comes to Shabbos, yesh shlichos la'akum. If you ask a guy to do for you a malacha, it's as if you did the malacha. It's your shliach. So the credit of the malacha, loisase kol malacha lo se'ose bohem, a malacha may not be done because of you, even through an agent. Okay, so shlichus lakam, the ikur is the malacha may not be done through me. I gave the command, the malacha is done. What the guy does is attributed to me. Now that's not necessarily a deraisa. That's
common. Also have by a Jew, ancient shlichus.
Oh, that's a different principle.
That's even adding more.
That no, there is ancient. No, there is a dvar angel dvar avera. If you ask a Jew do a malacha for you, then you don't. Then lachar, you don't. Then the malacha does not come back to you. Ein shliach l'dvar avera. Divrei harav, divrei hatalma, divrei mishonim. A goy is not chayv in Shabbos. A goy is not chayv in Shabbos. So then we do attribute the malacha to the Jew who asked him to do the malacha. If one Jew asks another Jew to do a malacha, the one who made the request is not responsible, because you ask an irreligious Jew, for example, you ask a Jew who is not shomer Shabbos. So what do I care? He's not. So then the one that's not shomer Shabbos, anyone and does the malacha, we're not going to attribute the malacha to you because ein shliach ledvar avera. But he's in trouble. He did the malacha, and you're over on lifnei iver. You're clearly over on lifnei iver in that case. But because he would not have the malacha if not for you, it's not betray every denaro. He's only doing it because you asked him to do it. If you have an irreligious Jew who's working for you on Shabbos and you ask him to turn on the fire, do a malacha, so you're over on lifnei iver. You're causing him to be mech. It's a serious matter. And a lifnei iver of chilul Shabbos is a pretty serious thing. But a goy does not have that halacha. The goy is on chayiv in Shabbos, but where he's not chayiv in Shabbos, now we can say shlichus la'akam. That's one reason. Another reason is it's avsha milsa. It's chil Shabbos was done. It's just not. It's not proper. I don't actually remember all the different reasons. I remember there are four reasons. I don't remember them all. I didn't have a chance to look them all up. There are four reasons why amiru la'akum. So it's not a point of today to go through the different reasons. But the point is amiru la'akum is categorically osir. However, Chazal did build into the prohibition exceptions. It's an issa midrabanan. Okay, it's considered to be an issa midrabanan because of shlichus la'akum, because it's like a category of avsha milsa. Chil Shabbos is taking place in your presence. It's taking place in front of you. It's a zilzul in the kedusha of Shabbos that malacha is being done you're outsmarting the system. You're beating the system, and Chazal did not approve of that, so you can't ask a goy to malacha. It's aser. That's the starting point. However, there are heterim, built in our heterim. Now, what are the heterim? The heterim are very, very few and far in between. Now, first of all, before we get into the heterim, there's another very serious problem, and that is, let's say I never asked a goy to do the malacha for me. I didn't do it. I never asked him. But the goy on his own did the malacha for me. It is also to derive benefit from the malacha. It is also. If a goy does malacha for a Jew, either the arayis and even midrabanan, for a Jew, it is forbidden for the Jew to derive benefit from the act of labor that the goy did, if the goy did it purely for the benefit of the Jew. He did this for the benefit of the Jew. You have to wait until Shabbos is over. So therefore, let's say a person, he's a caterer, and he's in a lot of trouble, and Mela, he doesn't want to think very much about this, and he just asks the goy to do something which, according to halacha, is forbidden, and the goy does it. So you'll rationalize. So no, I was very lenient. I was very, very lenient in the laws of Amir Lakam. I'm not such a big Talmud Chacham. You know, for me, I have a very low standard of Amiru La'akum. There are many opinions of when we apply the Heterim. I have a very low standard. Wait a minute. You're not a Bala boss to make that decision. Because the people who is going to be benefiting from the Malacha that's been done, a whole group of people, many other people, and they don't even know. They do not even know that a goy enabled did for them benefit. And even though you may consider for yourself to have a very, very low standard, you're not a bala boss to decide on the standards of everyone that's going to be benefiting from this malacha. And the goy is doing it for them. They are being nene from chil Shabbos. and they have higher standards than you. So, for example, let's say this is a very common question. We'll talk about the Mishnah Berurah actually talks about this, and he's Mekel, the Chazanish is Machmer, but he talks about this is where, let's say, I mean, the typical case in shul probably happens every single week in some shul in this neighborhood where you have all the food is cooked for a kiddush, and it's in a warmer, and then somehow the circuit breaker blows. Very common. You go come make a big kiddush, and they plug everything into the same outlet. And before you turn around, it's Friday night, you go home, and the air conditioner goes on, whatever, or heating goes on, too much drain on the electricity, and the circuit breaker goes. Baruch Hashem for circuit breakers, there's no fire, circuit breaker shuts down, you come back next tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 7:30, everything in the warmer is ice cold. Not ice, but it's cold. And it cost a fortune of money, and now, what are we going to do? Okay, so he asked the goy to plug it back in. Okay, that's what happens. That's what's done. Don't tell me that is what happens. Is that really permitted? So let's take a very hard line here. Let's talk about the land of make believe, fantasy island. Is, you know, really, I could prove to you it's awesome. Make believe I can prove to you, which I probably can, that it's really awesome to plug back inside. But you know, I'm the caterer. I'm a Bala boss. I'm not in Koilil. I want to be lenient. I very much want to be lenient, and I can find for you a lot of leniencies. I want to be lenient. Okay, so I'm going to tell the guy, plug it back, and I have yesh on me l'smich. But wait a minute. That means now, and let's assume now it's a deraisa derabanan, turning on a warmer. Very likely is a deraisa. Because the heating element in the warmer gets very, very hot. And that's like a coal, metal getting burning red hot. And it'll be red hot. L'chayra, I asked many rabbanim, they told me it's not so clear, is it a deraisa, the rabbanim to turn on a warmer? Well, halavai on a clock. You're talking, there are other solutions. Amira, you tell one guy to tell one guy, tell another guy, yeah, or you do a grammar. Okay. Listen, today they don't even do that. Today they tell the guy outright, plug it back inside. Shalom, I told you, disclaimer. Shalom al Yisrael, I told you, make the land of fantasy. Let's talk about the make-believe world.
It does love Davka.
Okay, you're saying something that's important. You say right. You're saying something good. If it's warm and you want to make it just hotter, there's definitely much stronger grounds to be lenient. It's not. We're gonna talk about that in a second. But let's say it's totally cold. It's so cold you wouldn't even serve it. You wouldn't serve it. It's just cold mamish. Okay. That's another issue. Okay. It's at a point where it's not. You wouldn't serve it. You really wouldn't serve it. And now you ask him. So again, I told you today there are heterim, but make believe we would not use those heterim. I, though, want to go to an extreme, be very, very lenient. So I'll do whatever I want. So, you know, it's my cheshbon. It's not on your cheshbon. Because when you tell the guy to plug it back inside, the guy is doing it for everyone here. That's what he's doing. What?
Does he have a true heter? Was it mutter for what he asked the guy?
Let's say he does. But see, here is the deal. This exact issue is a very, very big machlokes hapoiskim. There's a Ramah, there's a Mishnah Berurah. Maybe I'll read in a second. There's a Ramah, there's a Mishnah Berurah, and there's a Chazon Ish, and there are others. And there's a very, very big scale, very big spectrum of doing this on Shabbos. Does everyone have other hot food? No one's starving here. Everyone has food at home. And those who don't can whatever. It's not so clear that this qualifies as a mitzvah, as tzorchei rabim, and it's a hefsed meruba. Is it really hefsed meruba? L'chora, it is. There is a spectrum. There is a very big spectrum, and I've asked a lot of rabbanim, and no one wants to really. They don't want to give me the time of day to really delve into this. And they all say the same thing, because it happens every single Shabbos, and they say, really, we shouldn't do this. But it's a tzarech gadol, and this, and this, and this, so we're very meigel. Yeah.
You tell the guy that he should eat from.
No, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't know, because he's doing it for everyone. These are all very weak. He's not doing it for himself. You can't say he's doing it for himself. He's not really doing it himself. It's make believe to say he's doing it for himself. You're telling him to plug it in. Oh, you could also have some. Yeah, I'm plugging in. I'm going to eat a little bit. I have to go cook for 400 people here. 500 people. Okay, yeah. These all sniff him lead. The bottom line is that they do it. I mean, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is it happens every single Shabbos. Somewhere in this neighborhood, this happens every single Shabbos. No question about it. And it's done. What?
They should get more power to their
electricity. No, it's Shema's Lukai. This happens, that happens. You know, you can't, it's no one's fault. No one's fault. Whatever, it just, things happen. The plug falls out, the things go off.
Either you're going to trust this caterer's hechsher, and that he does things on your standards.
It's the best caterers with the highest standards, things happen. Things are plugged in. It happens to the best. It happens to everyone. You can't predict these things. These things happen all the time. It happens. You go to a new location, you're not familiar with the location, and things happen, and the power goes out. It happens all the time. Let's finish up this idea. So we have over here, there's a very, very big spectrum what to do in this case. After all of the head 10 that we'll try to discuss a few of them, it's still a very, very big debate. I want to be lenient. Good for you. But the goy is doing melacha for other Jews. The law is, if a goy does a melacha for you, you are not allowed to benefit from the product of a goy's melacha. It is awesome. I want to be lenient, so good for you. But who says every single member in this kehila wants to follow your standards? There are definitely people here in this shul, you know what? The plug went out, and according to, I learned the sugya, and I want to be a Yerei Shamayim, I can do without the cholent and the kugel. There's some cake, and there's some herring, and some cold cuts. It's good enough for me. I'm going home later. I'll eat cholent at home. I don't need to eat the cholent over here. I want to adhere to a higher standard.
Don't eat his salads either, because you hold to a higher standard.
Ein achinami. If that's your issue, everyone has their thing.
If I'm going to trust his hashgacha, I'm going to trust that he's going to do things right on Shabbos. And if I don't trust him, then I shouldn't trust him.
It's a Maisa Shabbos and a very complicated matter. What you're saying is true, because that's what we do today. Today, when you go to a Kiddush on Shabbos, you basically have to assume that the plug fell out and they put the plug back inside for you. Really, you have to really assume to a very large. Do you? Do you not? I take that back. I don't know. But here's the issue. It's not just stam that, okay, I'm going to be makel. When you're makel, you're being makel for yourself. You don't have a right to be makel for other people in a matter that whose the spectrum of seriousness is very different. This is called Maisa Shabbos. It is categorically forbidden for a person to derive benefit from Maisa Shabbos. For me, I have a very low standard. So I'm going to tell the guy to plug it back inside because I have a very low standard for Maisa Shabbos. But for everyone else here in this audience who's going to be Nene, you have over here 100, 200 people are going to be eating from this food. Do they know what happened? Do they know that this food they're eating now was a product of Maisa Shabbos? And even though you have a very low standard, you have a very low standard for Maisa Shabbos, they may have a higher standard for Maisa Shabbos. Who are you to make that decision for them? So it's not so simple. It's not, the fact is that it's done, Maisa Mechol Yom, it's done, goes to show that I guess the whole Klal Yisrael, we have very low standards for Maisa Shabbos. It's not low standards, the Mishnah Berurah says that, but Tzorech Gadol, you can be maker when it comes to hot food. Okay, I have to read the words exactly for you inside. Okay, but now let's go through, so this is a very serious, it's the prohibition of Amir La'akum is not only telling the guy to do the melacha. The prohibition is if you don't tell the guy to do the malacha, and the guy on his own does the malacha for you, the product is called Maisa Shabbos, and you are not allowed to derive benefit. Forget about a remez, I'm going to be merames to him. That's a whole different sugya. Merames, if you don't say a word to the guy, not a word, he walks in and he sees there's a problem, and on his own he turns on the oven, so everyone in shul should have nice hot challant. If we find out that the guy turned on the oven for all of us, the food is osur, because the food is maisa Shabbos. We're not talking about bilshul akam over here. That's a different issue. Almost all the food today by a kiddush already has been fully cooked. You don't have to worry about it. And usually, most of the time, anything that's brought into a shul is already fully cooked. There's no issue of bilshul akam. That's a different sugya. If you have a private kitchen, the guy turns on the oven, there's a shayla of bilshul akam. We're not dealing with bilshul akam. We're dealing over here with maisei Shabbos. Now, so amir liakam is very, very serious, because by default, you're not allowed to tell a goy to do a malacha. Not for you, not for someone else. Not for after Shabbos, not from before Shabbos. Not a deraisa, not a rabbanan. Not only is amir l'akam also, if the goy does the malacha specifically for you, the product is maisa Shabbos, and it is categorically osur until Shabbos is over and the amount of time passes to derive what would have, the amount of time it takes to derive benefit from that act, that time passes as well. Now, with that being said, that the threshold is really, really, really very, very, very high, how come today is it like it doesn't exist? Today, Amir Liakam has become like mamish, like nothing. Tell a guy. Why has that become the case? Well, there are really many heterim. There really are, but again, they're all heterim. It's a different threshold. It's a different focus. Number one is a choyle. Anyone that in halacha is considered to be a real choyle. Now, what is the definition of a real choyle? Good question, tough question to define what it means a real choyle. But anyone that is a choyle, there is an exception built into the halacha. Amir la'akum is mutter. 100%. You can tell the guy to do it directly. You can tell the guy to do a derais and a derabana. Nothing to talk about. Then there's another category. It's all Shulchan Aruch. I'm not making up the stuff up. It's all Shulchan Aruch of the different categories of heter. And I'm reading over here, everything over here from the Sha'arei Shabbos by one of my favorite machabrim, Rabbi Tezner, who is a five-star, first-class Pesek, who has only about 15, 20 Sfarim, Piskei Halacha. First thing over here is a Choyle Gomor. A Choyle Gomor, even if he's not a Mag Sakana, and a Choyle Gomor generally means a person that's bedridden. He's bedridden, or at least doctor's orders, he should be bedridden. Some people who should be bedridden, the doctor, the Moise Nefesh, they're foolish, the Moise Nefesh, but if they're begetted, that they have to lie down in bed, a guy is permitted l'chatchila to do malacha for them. Anything they need to do, you can tell them directly. You don't need to do grumazim. Anyway, so basically in a hospital, there's no such thing as milah. That's what it is. Anyone that is in a hospital is a choyla. What are you doing in the hospital for? What are you doing there? If you're in a hospital, you're a choyla. Push it. So in a hospital, you tell the guy, do this. There's nothing, no heroics in a hospital. You tell the guy to do whatever malacha you need to be do. Then there's a choyle she'enoi gomor. A choyle that's not gomor, which means, okay, that's also the subject. A choyle she'enoi gomor is not allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha de'oiraisa. But a choyle she'enoi gomor is permitted to tell a guy outright to do a malacha de'rabbanan. Today, there aren't that many malachas that are de'oraisa that are found in at home. 90% of malachas that you ask a guy to do today are all midrabbanans. There's no such thing today more as an incandescent light bulb. Okay, didn't the President of the United States sign an executive order that it's osur? You know why he signed that it's osur? You know why the real reason why he signed? He wants to make sure that all the former yidden should not be nichshol and anuyul akam and adaraisa. That's the real reason, the conspiracy theory. That's what it says in Telegram channels. The real reason that Biden gave an executive order that incandescent light bulbs are going to be osur, but phasing out, is to make sure no one's nichshol l'chil Shabbos. Because an incandescent light bulb...
But it presents a problem when you're in a hotel and you want to light candles for Shabbos and you can't, and you want to use the incandescent bulb. to make your
Chil Shabbos is much more important than Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos the Rabban, Chil Shabbos the Raisa. So that's the real reason. That's the real reason Biden. Everything else that you read on the news, you know, those are conspiracy theories. This is the MS. Chil Shabbos. Biden is he's an admirer of Orthodox Jews. You wish, right? Okay, next. Now this is probably really where it all comes from, the Heter. A Tzorich Godol. Oh, Tzorich Godol. Yeah. You define what is called a Tzorich Godol. Good luck to you.
But even if that's true, Tzorich Godol, and it's for the caterer, Tzorich Godol. Me eating.
Right, exactly.
So, no, but once the heter is given to his tzorich gadol, does that make it more different?
You're saying a chiddush nifla. For the caterer, it's a tzorich gadol. Memela, everyone doesn't need to know what happened in the kitchen, and it's not Ma'isa Shabbos.
No, so then it's not his being
nifla. He's saying a tremendous chiddush. Let me ask you a question. Let's say the caterer. He buys meat that you would not buy. He buys a grade of meat. There are different grades of meat. Rabbi Mayaski can tell you all different levels of kashrus. Glat has like five different categories of glat. Everything is glat today. There are different grades of glat, right, Rabbi Mayaski?
Yeah, now you have there's so much Beis Yosef. When they first started with Beis Yosef, you couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, now everybody in Beis Yosef.
Well, they lowered the standard of Beis Yosef, obviously. Right, right.
I mean,
there
amazing.
Are many people who are in the business will tell you, they say this, I heard this, is that you'll be shocked when you go to a very large affair, a big wedding. It's shocking to say this. Maybe I'm lying. What? I don't know what I'm saying. Is that the type of meat that they're serving by a big wedding of 400 people, you would not buy. They don't sell that. They don't sell that quality in Glatmart, in Moishes, in Pomegranate, and all in the retail stores, they sell the highest quality of kashrus. That's supposedly. I'm just telling you, supposedly. What they sell in the stores, because the volume is not, it's not overnight. Tonight we're making a wedding, we need 1,000 portions of tongue. Oh really? Where are you gonna get overnight 1,000 portions of tongue? Where are you gonna get that? So when you go to Glatmart and you go, they have tongue, they have in stock, they have a certain, so they know how to prepare high quality glat kosher, very high level. Glat kosher. It's sustained because also, it's a business, goes on the whole year round. But when you have an event, we're having a big event, we're having a dinner, Chaim Berlin dinner. 2,000 people, and we're going to serve corned beef.
Sweetbreads.
Where are you getting 2,000 servings of corned beef overnight, like that?
But it's not overnight.
Yeah, it's not overnight.
It's not
okay,
overnight.
So you got, I don't want to say.
You have in the freezer.
I went to ask OU, took a course in this, and the took is that it's a very big problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you bring in food. A caterer, listen, for me it's good enough. For me it's a tzarech gadol. There are many halachas in Shulchan Aruch, a hefsed gadol, this and that. And for the caterer, it's good enough for me. But when the customers find out what's going on, you're not happy about that. You're not happy about that. You want to adhere to a certain standard. Okay, if your whole life in your home, you don't bring in certain types of things. So just because for the caterer, it's a tzarech gadol, he has a contract. It's a tremendous nisoyan. The caterer has a contract. 6 months ago, they signed the contract. We're doing a dinner in the Waldorf, and we're going to be serving, the Waldorf probably closed down by now, right? Whatever. They're giving a dinner in a very big, big hotel, fancy hotel, and we're going to be serving, we need 2,000 portions of corned beef and this and that, whatever they want to go serve. And now it's the day before the dinner, and guess what? They tell you, we can't supply. So you call up another supplier. And then, yeah, we have, but it's not the good level. It's not the high level of glat. We can get you, but it's not what you're accustomed to.
What they do is they just tell you they're giving you a certain cut of meat and they lie. They tell you when it's frozen, you can't tell.
It's not you forever. So for the caterer, you open up Shulchan Aruch.
No, you can't.
Shas Atchak, Hefsid Gadol, this and that. Yeah, it's good for you. It's good enough, but it's not fair to use your standards to pass it down to the customer. It's not fair. Unless you say, well, it's expected. If you go to a dinner, it's buyer beware, you go to an event and they're serving meat, you have to understand the industry, and you have to understand that when you go to a very, very big event, you have to be aware that it's not likely that they can supply a very high level of kashrus, of certain types of meat. Meat is not black and white. Meat is not...
It's marbleized.
Meat is not black and white. There are many, many... People in the industry will tell you there are many, many grades of glatt. It's not always this glatt and glatt. It's not the way it works.
That's why you checking out the caterer, how much you trust...
The caterer has tremendous nisyonis. Incredible nisyonis.
And I won't trust that caterer.
What?
So you shouldn't trust anybody.
And they don't come out.
This is the way the world works. The way it's supposed to say, buyer beware. All I'm trying to say is, the same way you have this, and this is understood, this is much better understood when it comes to meat. But it's not appreciated when it comes to Chil Shabbos. The same exact dilemmas, the same exact issues that is very, very common and people talk about and they write about when it comes to meat, different standards of kosher meat. Go to a wedding, they offer meat, it's yadua. It's a very big scale of degrees of glatt. And it's understood. You come to a wedding, buyer beware, who's the caterer, this and that, what is acceptable. People don't appreciate that when you go to a kiddush on Shabbos, it's exactly the same issue. You may say, well, it's not a deraisa. So when it comes to kosher meat, you're dealing with nevela. So nevela, trefa, not the trefa, but the same thing. So Shabbos, you'll say chil Shabbos, not only chil Shabbos, maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos through a guy. A guy is doing malacha for you. Because you go to a big event on Shabbos, it's inevitable. It's inevitable that the guy is going to need to pull some strings for you. That's the way the world goes. And the question is, okay, there are definitely the heter Mishneh Berurah, a tzorich gadol, a ramah.
Because I catered many, many, many kiddushim
okay.
In my younger days when my father had a store.
Okay.
It was very, very rare that things went out. And in those days, the machinery is nowhere like it is now. Very weird.
Okay, halavai, you're right.
Shabbos, and I checked the ovens, and they were good. They weren't.
Halavai, you are correct. Halavai, you are right. Okay, I take it back then. If you're saying that everyone today is so misudar and organized, okay.
I know the hundreds of kedushin that I did, it was very, very weird that we ran into a problem.
How big were the kedush? How many people ate by the kiddush?
200-300 people.
Wow.
Wow,
maybe you should go back into the business. Okay, so I stand corrected. I just know from my little experience. I know in Young Israel, and I know whatever I know. I did my little experience.
How does the guy come in and knock and ring calls in the neighborhood? The guy comes in Shabbos morning, turns on all the lights for you, and turns
you're
on
right.
The conditions for you.
Not loud.
Drops the floor. For you.
Turn on the lights. Oh, I'll tell you one of these. This, you mentioned the heter, one of the heterim that you mentioned before is very, very important. You mentioned this. If a guy, one of the reasons why we're very lenient, if a guy does not do a malacha gemur. Now, malacha gemur has different translation. Let's say the guy doesn't turn on the lights. Can you still daven?
Probably not.
Really?
Depending which room you're in.
Okay, so
if the lights weren't on in this room, could you dive in?
Probably you could. Want to try it? Turn off the light. The lights in the back, the windows in the back.
These lights, maybe.
What? There are windows over here. There are windows over here in the back. Okay.
It's a cloudy day.
Cloudy day, but look, there's enough you can get by. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If what the guy is doing is just giving you hana, the malach is giving you additional hana, but it's not a game changer. Between on and off, it's pitch black dark, and the guy turns on the lights, then, you know, it's a very big problem. And there's no place that's not going to tell you that every shul should have clocks. Problem is, the clocks never work. We all know that. The clocks, we work maybe even 1 week, maybe not even 1 week. It's all for show, the clocks. The end of the day is, there's always a guy that's there 24-7, in a regular shul that try, and not every shul, you know, I'm talking about, that's there to make sure everything goes okay. But how is that exactly? It's mamish ma'isa Shabbos. It's ma'isa Shabbos. So you want to give the other heterim is, it's for a dvar mitzvah. All right, so you want to say davening is for a dvar mitzvah. Very, very possible, it's a heter. But then these are heterim. Remember, the threshold of Amir Lakum is not like any other halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Every halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter. So now it's a chumrah. Okay, so a chumrah. It's the starting point is its osur. A guy is doing malacha. Even a siddur rabbanan, it is osur. You want a heter? That's a whole different starting point. You want every Shabbos a heter? The guy, it's a dvar mitzvah. We're davening to Hashem. We're not coming here for fun. We're coming here to daven. Davening. You want to say eating hot food on Shabbos? That's not so simple. Eating hot food on Shabbos is called a dvar mitzvah, and it's a dvar. This is a machlokes poskim. You know, it is a very big inyan. You're supposed to have hot food. It shouldn't be at Stokey. Have hot food on Shabbos. All right. Now there's another heter, and that is this is very, very delicate. Where the goy is not giving you direct benefit, the goy is just taking away a problem. Now, what would be an example of that? Let's say, for example, to turn off the lights, the other way around, to turn off the lights, or let's say, for example, it's too hot in shul. So what are you telling the guy to? Telling the guy to turn off the air conditioner. Turn off the heat. There's a difference between telling the guy to do something or telling the guy to eliminate something. That is also different. That's not called Ma'aser Shabbos. Telling the guy to turn off the air conditioner. It's too cold. So you tell the guy to turn off. He did a malacha for you. He didn't give me benefit. He took away a problem. Telling him to turn on the air conditioner is positive. You're providing by turning on the electricity, you are creating something, cold air, which I'm now going to benefit from the cold air. But if the cold air is causing me pain, and I'm telling him to turn off the electricity so I won't have this cold air, That is mutter, not mutter, but that is not called Ma'aser Shabbos. Ma'aser Shabbos by a guy is only when you derive direct benefit from the guy. Another important from his malacha.
Meaning, if he changes the thermostat, which is a grumma.
That's another thing. Even a psik resha, exactly. A grumma is mutter. Even a psik resha. Even, for example, the light, you left the light on in the refrigerator. So if the guy opens the refrigerator, so he did for me. He's doing it only for me. He knows I want the food inside. He knows the light. He knows all the halachas. The guy by us, where I daven on Shabbos, he knows everything. Ad kidei kach, he tells everyone when shkia is for shalosh shudas. He says, you want to know when shkia is? Ask Pablo. That's his name, Pablo. He looks up. He's a Mexican. He looks up shkia, and when a sitter falls on the floor, he kisses it. He kisses the sitter. He knows when shkia is. He knows. Like, hey, mom, that's scary. Like, he knows everything. Like, let me tell you the halacha, what to do in this case, in that case. It's scary. But when the guy is doing, he does for you a ma'aser malacha. But if a guy, let's say the refrigerator is, the light is on, and he's opening the refrigerator, I'm not turning on the light, I'm opening the door. It happens to be when you open the door, the light goes on. It's a psik resha. I'm not turning on the light. To take the switch, turn on the light, that is a malacha. I turn the switch on. That's a malacha. That turns on the light. That whatever we consider that to be a malacha, whatever it is, midrabban or whatever that. I'm not turning on the light. I'm opening the door. It happens to be. There's a sensor, there's a this, there's a that. It's a grumma. Oh, but this is not just a grumma. This is a psik resha of a loyamos. Mutter. It's not that it's not, let's be careful now. It's not that it's mutter to tell the guy to do this, but this is not called Ma'aser Shabbos. It's not called Ma'aser. If you tell him to turn on the oven, turn on the warmer, that's Ma'aser Shabbos. The oven is off, the warmer is off, plug it in, turn on the circuit breaker, it turns it on, it makes the food hot. I'm turning on the oven. That's called Ma'isa Shabbos. But to open the refrigerator door and the light goes on, that's not called Ma'isa Shabbos. That's a shaila of Amir La'akum. And if then you want to say that you don't have what to eat, it's Sarach Gadol. I have choylem in the house. There's a choylem in the house. He needs to eat. Or it's a mitzvah you have to suit the Shabbos. Or it's a Sarach Gadol. I'm going to be grumpy the whole day if I'm not going to have what to eat. Then it becomes mutter. Also, another very important halacha, bein hashmashos yiladu amir la'akum. That's similar. Bein hashmashos. So like Friday night after Shkia, and how long is bein hashmashos? So you know you can be very makel. What do you want to call? All of a sudden you can be very makel. What do you want to call bein hashmashos? And also mitzvah Shabbos bein hashmashos. Then you're allowed. There's no shail of amir la'akum during those period of time. Then there are things that are not really odd. There are issues that are machlekes apoyskim. A machmir. I don't want to be a good example. There are certain types of questions. Are you allowed to do certain things? Like even like turning on the lights. So turning on the lights. The Chazonish holds that completing an electric circuit is a Doraisa. This is not a good example. This is clearly not accepted la halacha, according to everyone. Every place that writes that. Don't quote the Chazonish. The Chazonish holds completing an electric circuit is a melacha deraisa. We do not accept that. Finished. But let's say you'll have some other type of complicated electronical device where there's a machlekes apoyskim. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Let's say there's certain types of you want to peel onions, or you want to peel potatoes, or you want to go use some type of a mechanical device to prepare food on Shabbos. And I'm not familiar with all these different things. And there's a machlekes apoyskim. Some poskim say that on Shabbos you're allowed to do it, and some say you're not allowed to do it. And some, those who say, let's say, I'll give you an example, let's say opening up a milk carton. Remember the old-fashioned milk cartons? Mm-hmm. The old-fashioned milk cartons. Where it was like paper, you open it up. So Rav Moshe Feinstein holds, opening up an old-fashioned milk carton is a melacha de'oraisa. A melacha de'oraisa mamish. Many other poskim hold it's not. It's either mutul lechatchila, or it's whatever. It's not. It's the rabbanon. It's not the rabbanon. You shouldn't do it. But it's not a melacha deraisa. Am I allowed to ask a guy? To open up a milk carton on Shabbos, according to Rav Moshe, it's aser. It's deraisa. So lechayit follows all the rules of deraisa. Now tell me lechakim. But because it's a machloikis sapoiskim. Even though I am a staunch supporter of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes over here, anything that is a major machlekes apoyskim, there are very strong grounds that you, who mamish follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, hold it as a melacha deraisa, you could ask a goy to do for you on Shabbat, because many places it's mutter.
So you can ask another Jew.
Okay, some hold that also. Opening up the cans on Shabbos, opening the vows on Shabbos. Yes, generally.
When the guy at the kids, so
they do it also. But certainly, let's say you don't have another. But if you hold that it's deraisa, you hold that it's deraisa. A goy is worse. It's not a shakasha. Asking another Jew to open up the can of soda for you is not so terrible, because divrei harav, divrei hatalmud, divrei. I'm not doing it, and you're your own person. You want to do it, you hold it smutter, do it for me, because on the hate, two Jews are completely independent. But a goy is my extension. That's really what he says here. It's really worse to ask a goy to open up a bottle of soda for you than to ask a Jew to open up a bottle of soda who opens up these cans. Because when I ask, if I have in front of me, I have a goy and a Jew, and I have a bottle, and I don't open up bottles on Shabbos. I'm a tzaddik. I don't open bottles on Shabbos. Who should you give the bottle to open? A goy or a Jew? Believe it or not, this is shocking. If we only learned this, this would be enough today. It's better to give it to a Jew to open on Shabbos than to give it to a goy.
So if you don't use the Erev on Shabbos because you hold from a Moshe, tzaddik, but another one holds from somebody else. It's better to ask the Jew.
That's correct.
Than the guy.
That is correct. That's an incredible chiddush. That's what comes out. And this is not a joke. It's not a lechatchila. No, that you can't say it's a lechatchila. You can't, definitely can't. But people do it. But you need it. You do it. People do it all the time. Why? Because a goy is an extension of you. It's your avera of amira la'akum to tell a goy to do something you cannot do. If I can't do it, I cannot ask a goy. It's usur. You want to find a heter? Okay, I have a whole book of heterim for you. But know where you're starting from. The threshold of amira la'akum is unique relative to every other halacha that we are very familiar with. Almost every time you ask a shayla, every shayla you ask a rabbi, the rabbi will basically, you know, really, really, it's mutter. But we don't do this. It's usur for different reasons. When it comes to amira la'akum, it's usur. We need to find an exception to the rule. Is it a chayla? Is it a mitzvah? Is it an esat tzorech? Is it a direct benefit? Is it also cold and heat? That's another whole sugya. Everyone is considered to be a choyle when they had sinner. These all heterim. And now, so let's say you have a Jew that does this and a guy. To ask a Jew to do this, it's not shaykh to you. He wants to do it, he'll do it. Doesn't want to do it, he won't do it. You're asking him to do you a favor. He's an independent person. And if he holds that it's mutter to do, according to the rules of halacha, I have a rabbi, and my rabbi told me it's mutter, I could do this, well, there's nothing wrong, I hold it, it's mutter, I always do this, the whole day I do this at home, so you can't do it, so I'll do it for you, because anyway I do this, there's nothing wrong, there's absolutely nothing wrong. But if I tell a guy to do this, the guy is an extension of me, it's my prohibition. So you want to go carry an Isur on Shabbat. Let's say you're in a place, you hold that there's no Erev over here, and there are Jews that there's an Erev, and you don't hold of the Erev. And there are Jews that hold of the Erev. For a Jew to do it is much better than telling a guy to do it for you. Because a guy, it's a mamash amir la'akum. He's an extension of you. That's right. A Jew doing it is better than telling a guy to do it. All right. Unfortunately, I'm not organized enough to get over my message, but at least this is a little bit of a little favor. Halacha l'maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah says that these situations, you have Yesham Elismech, you can plug it back in. He doesn't say plug, but he says that the Aladdin is going to rewarm it, provided, by the way, that it has to be like a little bit of a, if it's liquidy, you're getting into whole Shai Labishal. Okay, but. I used to run around, but I'm not going to be there.